What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino. He's 52 years old.
How you doing, Greg?
Good. How was your birthday yesterday?
It was one of the best birthdays I've ever had. And I want to thank everyone that that helped make it that way, all the great birthday wishes, and everyone that tuned in for the Signs Watch Along, which was so fun. That I think we have to do it again, honestly. Not Signs.
We've already said we watched something else, right?
Again. Yeah, we just watch it again. No, I put it on the table. We should watch. We should just keep with the alien invasion theme. The next one we should do next week is War of the Worlds, because I love that movie too.
Now, here's my thing is I don't remember liking War of the Worlds. This happened because Signs came up in the conversation and we had a big argument on the stream.
He just got hot with you.
I've been trying to stay quiet until the introduction, but my God, come on.
It's you know how the show goes. We'll get to your introduction in a second. What is War of the Worlds by the Tom end. Cruise the best thing ever? No, come on. I mean, what is he? He's got a dumbass kid. He's got to drive him around in a car. They go inside the thing. I don't remember this movie. I don't remember being impressed.
My reason I want to watch it is because there's a moment in Signs where they go down to the basement and have to be real quiet and like the things starts banging on the door, and then there's I just like those moments in movies, and I remember War of the Worlds doing that really, really well with Dakota Fanning. I want to say
Fanning, yeah,
with the tentacles are like coming around trying to search for her, and they're like shh, and then there's that one crazy guy with the rifle who's like, I'm gonna kill everyone. You're like, what's happening?
I don't remember
Andy from Kinda Funny. Well, hey, excuse me, Nick,
it's my show, Andy from Kinda Funny.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. One thing I was gonna mention is I want to watch it because the son in that movie is obviously he's done a lot of great things in his career. I want to see where it all started because we know him best as Goku in the Dragon Ball movie, where he put on an Oscar award winning performance. Sure. And I want to see what are the sort of like, where did his career start off in,
Before that's the evolution.
Yeah. Before the evolution. Before. Yeah. Where the revolution was. Yeah. I want to see that. That's a joke, Greg, because it's a bad movie. Dragon Ball's a bad movie.
And the guy plays Goku. The kid from War of the Worlds is Goku?
Yeah.
Very strange. Very strange.
You don't see that coming. I didn't see that coming.
I was like, when I saw the previews, I was like, they couldn't have. There wasn't one guy. No way. No way.
Like, Goku.
Not. Okay. Right. I mean, do you? If you're gonna wash it, at least give it to me straight first. Like, give me at least one before you flip it on its head. Jeez.
Name him Gary or something.
Yeah. If you want to just give me a movie in the Dragon Ball universe, yeah, this is his friend Gary, and it's pre-Goku coming to Earth. All right.
I know we're in the middle of the introduction and everything else. The Lou in the live chat says, Greg, your house is haunted. And I do have to say, Kevin, what the fuck is this? Why is this happening?
Oh, we're live.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, right. You know what? Yeah, that spot is keyed out.
It looks like my heartbeat. It looks like I'm throbbing over there.
Can you explain?
Come on.
All right, fuck it.
Did I talk anymore? You wanted to explain? Explain. You have the floor, Kevin Coelho. I'm the ones and twos.
Joe was having an issue with her computer where the screen kept flashing green. I thought it'd be funny to key it out. So instead of flashing green, Nick taking his robe off would come up. And it was fucking hilarious. I'm the king of comedy.
I stand by that.
Yeah. No, I saw the subreddit thread about it.
It's good stuff there. I turned the key off. So next time we do a show, I can turn it back on. Hopefully I fix the camera.
Thanks, Kevin.
I love y'all.
We love you too. We'll talk to you in a second. Of course, you already heard him talk a little bit about it. He's the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe trotting, head shotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
A very special day. I was sent a very special package yesterday. And by the way, earlier when you said, Nick, he's 52 years old, I was going to be like, happy birthday, Nick. Like, it was yesterday. We did plenty of celebrating yesterday. I don't know why I thought today, but I got a special package in the mail from Mountain Dew, and they sent me their brand new flavor, Major Melon, and it is now a permanent addition to the flavor offerings, in addition to Code Red, the standard, and the other shit. They sent you one too, Greg?
They did, buddy. They did.
Are we gonna drink it together?
No, I gave mine away immediately. Sorry, I don't. You know, I'm not a big soda guy. So, like, Allie was coming over and she was giving us a pot pie, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, later on. Ooh. And then Jen was like, I'm going to give her some lemons. And I was like, I'll give her this Mountain Dew, too.
You're a piece of shit, dude.
What do you want me to do?
Kind man.
Do the dew.
Right?
Kind man.
If they'd bring back Orange Livewire, I'd be all about it. But I don't want to drink this major melon.
How do you think that this is going to get popular enough to be a forever flavor? You know, people got to have it. They got to taste. They got to talk about it. So Greg's doing what he can to spread the wealth. You know,
it does seem like a hasty decision, Andy. Why would they do that?
I mean, I didn't even know he would have like, here's the thing, Austin, you're talking about spreading the word. He didn't even post about it on social.
He's got his picture.
Busy
he's got
I am?
Yeah, you know? that picture is clearly a social post for later.
Yeah, but also, Andy, Greg's not the kind of person on Instagram just post anything, right? He's not just going to go there
Andy,
and post
his shoes, or him walking, or his hat, or his leggings. Sends me some random free thing. It doesn't mean I'm automatically going to post about it, all right?
God, he's not a hack like all the rest of us. He's got scruples when it comes to his Instagram followers, okay?
I'm playing hard to get. Mountain
Dew sent me that as well, Greg. GSI.
If you're an audio listener, I'm holding the life-size mountain or life-size for a person Mountain Dew body pillow.
I want
and
that.
Like my fiance is not Nick's wife. And what by that I mean, she is not the type that if something comes in, she's like, no, that thing's fucking leaving. Until this showed up in my house. She's like, no, why did they send this? And she was like mad at me. I'm like, I didn't ask for this. I didn't order this. Like, it's here. I don't know what to do with it. And of course, that was cool Greg's room. He's holding it down.
Here's the thing about it is when the Mountain Dew body pillow entered my life, obviously. Mm-hmm. My wife in between, you know, I would say D and Gia. She's not as extreme as D, but I do get a lot of eye rolls when I bring in the random things I did. Her and Lucy James, not big fans of the Mountain Dew Do the Dew pillow here. But the first time they cuddle up to it on the couch, they're like, fuck, this actually feels pretty good. And now it's a staple. Now it's a staple of the house.
People sleep on body pillows, literally and figuratively. They're great. They're fantastic.
See, the thing with me is, and this is why I appreciate my wife, right? Because she has, She operates off of a degree of constant vigilance when it comes to this household that is just impressive. Like, I'm not going to lie, guys. One out of every 7 days, I barely make the cut of being allowed back into my house because I'm dirty or something. She's like, nope, go hose yourself off. You've been playing in the park. Get out there. If that pillow came near anywhere near my zip code, she would nuke it in a second. There's just no way.
Nuke it. I will say, like, I shout out to Mountain Dew for attempting to be cool or whatever. Like, they sent Andy the new flavor. That's
okay.
Great.
There's no attempting. They're cool. Mountain Dew's
I would
cool.
have appreciated the new flavor. Instead, I get a body pillow and a giant box that had one bottle of Mountain Dew. And it wasn't even a 20 ounce. It was like a weird size bottle that I've never, like, some European shit. I'm like, this is like a bizarre choice for them. Similar to when they, in the holidays, they sent us the Mountain Dew cookbook and like a Mountain Dew apron and all this stuff. And I'm like, I know I sound very ungrateful right now. And that's because I am. It's because I am. I don't know that I need this.
We wouldn't have any of these gifts if it weren't on the seminal episode of KFAF where me and Nick ranked the dues. Mm-hmm. And because of that, that's out of this beautiful partnership. And
which is why it's even funnier that Nick gets none of it. You know what I mean? Like, Nick doesn't even get the thing he might possibly watch.
Andy and I have an unspoken agreement that Andy gets all the stuff and that if I want any of it, I don't get any of it.
Yeah.
So that's our agreement. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unspoken.
He's Forbes 30 under 30, aka the second best baby blues in San Francisco, aka the verified one at Tim Gettys.
Let's him host. I never knew, having not seen either of these movies, I never realized that War of the Worlds and The Day After Tomorrow are different movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But according to Wikipedia, they are. Are you telling me one of them is actually good?
Yes.
First off, how dare you? Yes. Stop. Pump the brakes right there. Man, because we've been friends for a long time, but this could end it.
This is
War
the day.
Worlds. And first off, The Day After Tomorrow, I would put on the great category.
That movie is not even on the Nick Scarpino like scale.
I'm making a new scale.
What are the normal three-finger scale?
Three-finger scale. Good, good, bad, good, and bad, bad. This is at the top of... I'm sorry. Great. You know what? I can't even. It's dead center. It's dead center. Good, bad. That movie is a guilty pleasure. That's guilty pleasure movie right there.
I will not allow the Nick Scarpino three-finger scale to be sort of to evolve into a new form because of The Day After Tomorrow. Like, that's I'm not letting that be the one that causes a change.
I'm such a sucker for bad disaster movies, guys. Like,
but the thing is, it's kind of like bad.
What's that? It's not bad. No, no, that's what I'm saying. It's enjoyable. It's like it's a fun comfort food movie, right? You throw it. It's a Sunday afternoon, Day After Tomorrow's on, and you're like, Dennis Quaid, why do you have to traverse the entire United States with snowshoes to save your son? Just, I don't know, there's got to be a better way to do this. And the answer,
did you watch the movie? There wasn't a better way to do it. Everything was freezing in like 2 seconds.
Oh, okay. So I'm sorry, Greg. Sounds like you've watched this movie a lot and you really like it. Why don't you come to my defense?
I was trying to come off the bench a little bit ago and everybody was just shouting over me. All right. Here's the thing. I won't lie to you. I had forgotten that movie called The Day After Tomorrow. But once I saw the poster, I was like, oh, I distinctly remember this one. Remember the little annoying guy in the library is like, we can't burn the Bible. I'd be like, listen, man, there's other libraries that people aren't trying to stay alive in right now. Yeah. We're going to burn everything in this fucking fight.
Also, people have it online, bro. It's not like we, you know what I mean? It's like, you don't have to burn anything to stay alive. That movie's
in this movie situation, I feel like you guys were leaning towards, you know, alien stuff with Signs. Is there any possibility of watching The Fourth Kind?
The Fourth Kind with the owls? Is that the owls one?
Yeah, dude,
So Nick, it is like Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind. That's why it's called that. You know, like it's kind of a play on that. This movie, Austin, terrified me, like traumatized me. Yep. And these kids are asleep and they would hear these owls outside.
Oh, this looks terrifying.
And they would be like, what are these owls doing here? And I don't even know what the whole point of the movie was. I was just so terrified.
Essentially, they're up in is it Alaska? I think somewhere in Alaska. And like, it's a high concentration for alien abductions there. Yeah. So like the whole thing is like, it's not highly populated. So the aliens are like, oh, whatever, we can take people from here. And that's like actual, like real data of people who say they've been abducted by aliens. It's like, that's a hotspot. And so it's to the point where this psychologist is talking to so many different people about them getting abducted. And they all kind of have a similar story about seeing this owl and then being abducted, and they explain it. But the cool thing is it's kind of modeled after like similar quote unquote true events. So they have footage that they put next to the movie that is the same conversation, and it's the actors in the movie are dramatizing it. And so you get to see both, and it makes it so intense.
I'm in. Yeah. I love it.
It's a pseudo documentary purporting to be based on real events. That's pretty cool.
Dude, yeah.
When you see it,
Austin, I forgot about that. How they interweave the real life interviews with the oh my god, it's even freakier.
Because there's parts when they're trying to essentially communicate, and there's recorded phone calls apparently of like you hear the actor saying it, and then you hear like underneath it is like this. Hey, what was your name? Like people were actually doing this.
And it's like terrifying.
It's too much.
I'm totally in. I would totally watch that. But now that makes me also want to watch a double feature of that and Fire in the Sky.
Oh no.
Because if we can make Amy watch Fire in the Sky, dude, I think that's great content.
He was so strong. He didn't look that strong.
What a strong boy.
He's so strong.
Fire in the Sky. Strong? No way, dude. I mean, just the abduction of that. That's the thing that I've mentioned several times. When Tim was going through his LASIK procedures, I just kept imagining the Fire in the Sky moments where they're holding open their eyelids and they're going to drill and do some crazy ass shit. And they're in like sort of like a womb-like thing, and there's all this like liquid seal. It's just awful, dude. Awful, awful movie. And then like, don't a couple of astronauts make appearances, but it's like actors playing the astronauts because they went
it's a real astronaut.
I doubt it's them. Yeah, I would doubt it's the real astronauts.
Aldrin's like, I'll come on. What do you mean to say? I'll say I saw an alien. Sure.
I'm back from the moon. It's cool.
I'll have to look it up. But yeah, one of those movies that you know, my dad recorded on VHS because it was playing at 2 a.m. on HBO, and just a good ass movie, dude. Good ass movie. Awful.
In rounding out our five-person group, he's the first ever guest on the new Kinda Funny podcast, second episode full of guests, whatever you want to call it. He's WWE superstar Xavier Woods. Up, down, downs, Austin Creed, the commish. Hello, Austin.
Muscles. Also, check out this new shirt, quarters only. You can get it at uuddshop.com. Just dropped today. Look at the back. Boom.
I'm going to buy that shirt now, dude.
That's dope.
It looks good.
Wait, uuddd.com/shop?
uuddshop.com.
There's also a bunch of left-right merch up there that's really hot.
There is, and the left-right title just went on sale today. It's whatever. If you want to get that, you can. If you're into it, whatever. But this new shirt, up, down, down. Oh, baby, it's clean.
But the left-right stuff's really cool.
I mean, it's okay.
This guy, he's annoying.
It's all right.
I'm not annoying. I'm just calling a spade a spade. You know what I mean? I mean, all I got right down the middle. Some commissioner should do that, some would say. But
whatever you decide to spend your money on, I'm happy that you're happy. Because it all comes to daddy anyway.
How have you been, sir? We haven't seen you in a while.
I've been all right. Yeah. I'm glad that it's 2021. And I'm just hoping that we shake some of the stink off. But from a video game standpoint, this is going to be a controversial thing, but for me, been thinking about it, been talking about it. I think I got to have some more conversations, but I think that 2020 may have been my favorite year in video game history.
Whoa,
For like releases of things. I found so many, I was doing my top 10 list and I actually played through like so many games that to me could have been like game of the year at any time. Like I'm late to it, but I started playing Hyrule Warriors, the second one that dropped. Sure. And I'm a sucker for Dynasty Warrior games. And then when you put Dynasty Warriors
with Breath of the Wild
mechanics on it, and it's gorgeous. The music is great. The stages make sense. The items are fun. Like, and there's too many of those. There's so many of those. So I don't know. 2020 was a banger year for video games.
I do wonder how it's going to hold up when we're looking back at it, the way that we look back at like the 2007s of the world, 2017, 2013. Like there's these years that stand out. I think 2020 will be in that conversation for sure. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if we're going to look at it as a year, like did it have the God of War level masterpiece that I think we're going to remember those years for? Because The Last of Us Part II, obviously, a lot of us love that game, but mm-hmm. it being a sequel, it being whatever, God of War obviously is a sequel, but it's different. You know, mm-hmm. I wonder in 2025 what we think about this.
I think that people will be saying Ghost of Tsushima was that game.
Really?
Well,
that's the one we're going to look back at for me.
I think so, because I think a lot of people played the single player and kind of were done with it. But when you go back and play the multiplayer as well, like that's worth the cost of the game to me. The multiplayer is insane. The co-op capabilities of being able to run missions together and then being able to essentially do raids and horde mode as different kinds of classes of samurai. Like there's so many hours in it and it's so replayable. And just that whole game, that whole story, the way it looks, like everything about it is super innovative. Like I think that's going to be a game that people look back at and go, holy shit, we got this in 2020. I think that's how they're going to see it.
I hope so. I don't know. I feel like I think with Last of Us Part II, Animal Crossing, Final Fantasy VII Remake, all amazing games, obviously. But I think it falls into the thing, that Tim's talking about, where it's like, okay, those are IPs we've seen before, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look back at that, does that stand out as brightly as a year where there are all these different... And I guess even as I'm saying it, right, I'm thinking of 2018, I'm thinking of God of War, I'm thinking... God of War, but... It's an interesting question how we're going to look back.
Andy, it's wild because I think of like the games that I thought were, 10 out of 10 game of the year types that could go up against any other game of the years. And still the game I played the most this year was Warzone. And I think that's just such a top down, like one of the best battle royales I've ever played. And then I think of how much fun Fall Guys was. And I always mm-hmm. wonder about like in an alternate universe, what if Among Us and Fall Guys had swapped places? Would Fall Guys be talked about more? Because obviously Among Us came at the end of the year and kind of, was the fever pitch and that's all everybody was talking about. But I think if those roles were reversed and, we're talking about game of the year type stuff, I think we see Fall Guys talked about a lot more because it kind of came and went at the beginning of quarantine and a lot of people fell off of it or whatever. But man, it was hot for that like 3 week, 4 week stretch of time during that... What summer was it? Summer? I don't even know when
the summer. Yeah.
I always wonder about that. Like, it just in terms of release times, how that changes the discussion.
What's crazy about the discussion that we're having right here is like we're talking about video games and like looking back on 2020 as like undeniably it will be in the conversation of best year in video game history. Then you look at movies and it's just like no. like it is going to be a year that time forgot, right? Like it's nuts that the handful of movies, like even on the indie scene, like even in the artsy spaces, like they just weren't there wasn't a level of quantity to even be able to have the conversation about the quality. It's like we're literally talking about Bad Boys for Life, Sonic the Hedgehog, Tenet, Wonder Woman as the big blockbusters, mm-hmm. right? But then you kind of have a pretty steep fall down to like Trolls World Tour, like immediately.
I'll tell you what though, TV wise,
oh, insane
hit. TV killer. Was great. Like we started off the quarantine essentially with Tim recommending me to watch Dave, And season one of Dave immediately became, I think, one of the more like hilarious at first, then just straight up artful shows. Greg from Kind of Funny.
Now, Dave, a great movie. How did they stretch that out into a season of TV? Does he pretend to be the president the whole time? The
worst. So he has some trouble with Sigourney Weaver, their relationships on the rocks a little bit here and there.
Dave, a great show. But then also another show that kind of got that just sort of came and went really quickly. And this was, I think we started talking about it on Screencast before we all went work from home. And I think I mentioned it a couple times, and then the season eventually ended at the beginning of quarantine. Devs on FX was one of my absolute favorites last year. It is Alex Garland, who did
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina and Annihilation. Super high sci-fi concepts. And it is with Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec, who's playing a sort of, you know, Steve Jobs-ish character, very visionary in the tech world. And it's just, it's such a good story and just riveting sort of moments, man. Your heart is going to be pounding. Like, I highly recommend everybody go watch Devs. It's so goddamn good. And Alex Garland, I love that FX is basically like, hey, Alex, do something like fucking wild. Like, do all the movie stuff, any ideas that have ended up on the cutting room floor, do an 8-episode run and just make a season of a show that's like a one-off, obviously. And that's another great thing about shows being one-offs. You know, you don't have to be super invested and worry about falling behind. It's a one-off series. It's super damn good. Devs on FX. Very, very good.
Queen's Gambit, same thing.
Yeah.
I love that it was a one-off, you know, just like we don't need to worry about sequels and shit. It's just tell a good story, have a good ending. Knocked out of the park.
I feel like Queen's Gambit is a show that someone created and they didn't have like a shell for it. And they're like, I got this great show and I need an idea for like a conduit for it. They're like, well, I bet if you think you're so good, I'm going to give you a weird one that I don't think anybody would watch. A random like orphan girl playing chess. Like, make that interesting. And they go, yeah, totally. It's one of the most interesting things you're ever going to see in your life here.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I listened to an interview with the guy that actually got the show, like the showrunner. And he was saying that they've tried to, that series/movie was in development for a really long time and apparently was slated to be Heath Ledger's directorial debut before he unfortunately passed away. Yeah. And so it's a book that was written, I think, I want to say, and Kev can help me out with this, maybe the 80s or 70s.
Really?
And one of the hard things was that the guy talked about, which I thought was fascinating. I think this was on Fresh Air, if you guys want to listen to it. I was on Terry Gross. He talked about how he was like, I didn't want to do a movie because if you boiled all that down into a movie, it would have had to be a sports movie. And he goes, I didn't want to be a sports movie. I wanted it to be more about her inner struggle. It is, but if it was, imagine all of that, it would have just followed that traditional sports, like, you know, 2 hour long. She wins. She's discovered. She wins. She wins. She wins. She wins. She loses. She hits the lowest part, and then she comes back up and figures out what she needs to do to win. And while that did happen, I think you would have lost a lot of that inner struggle and that turmoil with addiction and her facing her demons and really having to overcome that. So I think it just worked out a lot better. And it also challenges them a little bit more to try to figure out how to make chess riveting over the course of like 8 hours, which they somehow did. They somehow made me. I was that kid that had the chessboard. I was like, let's play chess. And then I would lose interest in it 5 moves in because I'm like, I don't know how any of this shit is. But I was riveted by that. And I think everyone that worked on it was just knocked it out of the park. Having said all that.
Were you riveted by the chess part of it though? Yes, don't get me wrong, her skill and her learning and watching on the ceiling and all that stuff, all that was awesome. But it also made me look at chess as I already think of like, just what a boring game. I got to memorize all these things. Nobody's coming. Nobody's out there composing at the keyboard. You know what I mean?
No adventures. Let me tell you that.
When I see a nitro rifle out there, right, and I see him in the war zone, right, he's not going, I need to go in here and I need to do the Sullivan pass and then I need to do the loop-de-loo and the Lindy hop to get over. You know what I mean? He's like, no, I'm going to get out there. I'm just going to make it happen.
I think they did a really good job of explaining chess in a way that I had never looked at before, right? Which is that there's a ton of different strategies that you can study to apply to the game, which I know to any chess is probably like, yeah, no shit, Nick. That's how you play any game, right? Like that's how you play football. You have plays, you study those plays, you go run those plays, you rehearse them. But I never thought of chess in terms of that. Until this show, I was like, oh, people have written theory on like just straight up move sets that you can study. And to me, that clicked finally where I'm like, oh, I understand this now. It's not just something that like super geniuses. I mean, I'm sure in order to excel at a high level, you have to be really, really fucking smart. But to me, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I understand it now. There's a foundation you can lay and then you can build upon that. And I think the show did a really good job at showing me that. And that made me really invested in her winning at the end. And, you know, sure. And I think also to give them credit also, one of the things that I really liked was it was a show during the Cold War that didn't paint the Russians as the end all be all worst people on the planet. And I think that I heard that the showrunner talk about that too, where he was like, you know, it actually was pretty popular in Russia because for the first time, like they weren't the bad guy. They were just the antagonist. And I think that really does well because you get to know them. You get to know the bad guy, or the bad guy, the antagonist on a much deeper level. And you see his struggle and you see like what he goes through to get to maintain his top position. It just all really worked really well for me. I think it's great.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather around these microphones, coming to bullshit is about whatever they want to bullshit about. And we all have a good time and we all hang out together and have a blast. If you like that, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where, of course, you can kick us a few bucks and you can ask your questions on the show. You can get the show ad free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we only do on patreon.com/kindoffunny. However, if you have no bucks to toss, you could be watching live too, but like DJ Kento is, Cameron Kennedy is, Demetrius Newell's Marcus. If you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week, twice a week now, to see what's going on and hang out with us. I'm so sorry. Nick, you have a question. Your hands up.
Having said all that, it's no Cobra Kai.
Oh, that is very true. Very fucking true.
I still haven't started it.
Austin.
Oh, I know. Everybody keeps telling me I'm stuck in a show right now that I can't stop watching, and I have to finish it before I watch Cobra.
That's
fine.
Oh, wait, hold on. So you haven't even seen season one?
No. I haven't watched any of it.
Oh, baby, this is going to be good.
So if I have the opportunity to. So like when I first heard about Cobra Kai, I heard about it and not like a ton of people were talking about it around me. So I was like, you know what? I don't know if they'll get a second season. And I kind of like watching a show when I know it's done. If I have the chance to. So I was like, okay, I'll give it like 3 months because I don't feel like I have to know about it right now. And then it was like, kind of went away. And then I was like, oh, there's another season. And then I feel like in this most recent season, that's when I've heard it talked about the most. I'm like, fine. Okay. It's doing well. I got to start watching now.
It came to Netflix. It was stuck on YouTube premium before, but now it's on Netflix. Everyone's talking about it for good reason. It's fantastic.
It is. Thank you, our Patreon producers. No one cares about Cobra Kai. No one cares. All right.
Everyone cares.
Here's the long and short of it, everybody. I grew up with people caring about the fucking Karate Kid. And guess what? It was a dumb movie that was boring then, and it's boring now. All right. Whoa. The best part is when they wore skeleton outfits and rode bikes. Otherwise, it was waxing a car and then lusting after Elizabeth's shoe. All right. And so I got through it. We all got through it. It went away. They tried to bring it back with Swank. And guess what? We didn't want it. They tried to bring it back with Jaden. Guess what? We didn't want it.
No, we wanted it.
We were done. We were fine. We were out. And then all these old people like Nick, they had to be so old and say, let's bring everything back. Let's bring everything back. Still haven't gotten a new Goonies, but here's a series with all the old people in it. And they're doing this thing. And they're still caring about karate. They're still running around talking about karate, wearing I'll have you know, Andy, I got a voucher coupon as a kid and went to one karate class, and it was a bunch of bullshit.
I bet they were like, you can't bring your bowl in here, and you fucking vomited, you little kid.
Andy Cortez from KindoFunny.com.
You could take that whole monologue right there and just replace every noun with ghosts and bustin'.
No, you couldn't. Ghostbusting is a different thing, all right?
I thought Andy was going to be like, you could take that whole monologue right there and shove it up your ass because you're totally wrong.
Because Karate Kid... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I will like the when Greg was doing his little angry rant right there. Nick did try to pop in and go, Ghostbusters. See, here's the thing. Like, Austin, Nick loves Ghostbusters, but he will just like... Films. If Greg loves it, he'll go. That'll be his ammunition. Like,
if I can use Ghostbusters against Greg, there's a hierarchy, Austin, of things that I need in my life. One is great movies. Two is nostalgia. But above all of that is giving Greg shit. So if I can use anything in my past, I'll
doesn't
burn
matter
it
what he loves. Ground.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't
yeah. Matter.
I think it's a fantastic way to live, honestly.
God damn
thank
it.
You. I appreciate it.
We shouldn't put you together. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Kieran O'Donnell, Steve Powers, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Alexander Noxel, Bill I.M. Today we're brought to you by youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, I want to kick... we have three great questions. And Austin as our first guest on the new and improved Kinda Funny Guest podcast. You get to pick, all right?
Okay.
So it can either be about wrestling, which shockingly, you and I rarely ever talk about on camera. We only talk about video games and giving each other shit usually. So wrestlers, the worst dinner you ever had, or Scotty doesn't know.
Ooh, Scotty doesn't know. That's easy.
Brandon writes in to patreon.com/kindafunny like you can and says, is there a better in-movie song for a non-musical than Scotty doesn't know? Of course, we're talking about that's Eurotrip, right? Isn't it Eurotrip?
Yes, that is Eurotrip.
Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
Yeah, Matt Damon's cameo in Eurotrip, which is a weird one, but he's there. Great song. You know what I mean?
Not an actual song.
Yeah, so a better in-movie song. So a song that exists in the movie, not something that plays over the movie. And it has to be a non-musical.
Wait, isn't that a song?
I will give them...
What are you saying?
I'm sure they released it.
I'm sorry. It's released. It's a song. Like, Scotty doesn't know is a song.
Yes. But follow my words one more time. Better. It's a song that exists in the movie. Like in the universe, those characters know that song. It's not just playing over their actions. Yes, Nick Scarpino.
I'll throw out, and this doesn't 100% fit the criteria, but I want to give a shout out to every single time. To every single time the Dan Band is in anything.
Ooh, yes.
Because I have never laughed harder at a movie than when they're at the wedding at the beginning of Old School.
Totally.
And he's like, turn around every now and then, I fucking need it. And when he slips in the F word.
And they look at each other.
Laughing
need you more than ever.
I fucking need. And I was like, did he? And then they cut to Will Ferrell. And Will Ferrell has that perfect look on his face that is saying what you're thinking. Was he just saying the F word?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that we're going to find a song better than Scotty doesn't know following these rules, because it includes an amazing Matt Damon cameo, but it also is so good story-wise. It involves characters, specifically Scotty.
Kind of hits all the points.
Austin Creed from Not Kind of Funny.
possibly. Give me some time.
Anytime. Oh yeah, you work at G4 now too. Congratulations.
Yeah. I got a lot of irons in the fire. Appreciate it. So when we say movie song, it's fine if it was released after the movie came out, but as long as the people in that universe, as long as it originated on film, first time that it was heard, it works.
Yes.
No, it has to be in world. That's the key thing here.
Like characters have to have sung the song.
It is diegetic is the term.
Okay. I have one that cannot lose. Well, I have two actually, and you cannot pick between either of them. Stand Out and Eye to Eye, both from a Goofy movie.
Oh fuck. Those are great
fucking wow. That was really good. That was really good. Also, Andy's diabetic. God.
Wow.
Jesus. Now, Austin, which one? If we had to choose one,
bro, you can't.
Which one do we go with?
There are certain questions. There are certain questions that you do not ask, because if you do, then you will be smited. And we just, you can't answer that question. There's no way.
Well, I will say, though, that the Goofy movie has a lot of songs in it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's too many. I feel like there's too many songs that it's not a musical, but there's. Like, in the same way that I would say Aladdin isn't a musical, but there's a hell of a lot of songs in Aladdin.
No, but Aladdin
is 100% a musical.
The one on Broadway. So are we saying that all, like, Disney... all the Disney kid movies are technically musicals? Or are we saying that?
Yeah.
No, not all of them. But, I mean, a lot of them are. Beauty and the Beast, what's the threshold? Aladdin, Lion King.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a character in a movie that breaks out in the song more than once, it's a musical.
No. What the answer is, like, it is are the songs about the plot, about what's happening, and are there enough of them that, like, that's the plot? Whereas with Goofy movie, it's not the plot. It's those are songs that are being enjoyed on stage from a performer, with rare exception.
Okay. That's not musical,
like the Open Road song is. Mm-hmm. There are musical moments in a Goofy movie, but it's not a musical. Andy Cortez.
I'll take one that I always think about, and it is. It's not a song created for the movie. It's a song that existed years and years. Why am I hearing myself?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. You're doing like, say you consider yourself the most luckiest man in the world.
Wait, sorry. There we go. Sorry, that was my bad. Nobody heard it.
No, Kevin, do it one more time.
They can't hear it, though.
Oh, they can't. Damn it.
No, sorry.
I was going to go.
I can't.
And I remember. I was going to do.
I can make it so you can hear it and Nick can react to it, maybe. Oh.
Thank you.
No, that's all good. I just wanted to do the Phil Collins effect. It's all good. We can turn it off. Back to my point. I always think about Guns N' Roses in the movie Can't Hardly Wait. where the nerd jumps on stage.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Take me down to the paradise. And everybody's like, who's this loser? But then he just gets the crowd pumping and the whole party just gets into it. Yeah. And then, like, he's making out with girls on stage and they're like, he's crowd surfing. I think that's such an awesome moment in that movie. I always think about that when they're a character singing a song.
See, but if that counts, then we have to shout out All Star by Smash Mouth at the end of Rat Race, where they're all crowds.
Ooh, what a movie.
What a movie.
What a film.
I got him out of his chair.
Wait, the ladies hanging off the poles in the hotel room to see who falls first, just betting on everything.
I'm a bit embarrassed, not for Mr. Creed, of course. I have no respect for him. But for the rest of you, of course, that you would have forgotten this gem, Kevin, play it.
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah, bro.
It's yub-nub.
It takes so long to get into it.
It doesn't, because when you hear the beat in your headphones, really, when it's not compressed, it slaps.
It's Star Wars. It's we. Oh God.
Come on, bro.
Yep. Nope.
Okay.
Oh, you cut it at the song when he says the part.
Right at the part.
This is when the Empire had fallen. All right, this is a song of joy for my people, the Ewoks.
Greg, the biggest Star Wars fan,
shows that it's not necessarily going to make the number one on this list.
I also want to shout out something that I just retweeted on Twitter. Scott Pilgrim, the song Metric. Hello again, friend. Sheet. Like when that moment happened, that's the moment I was like, I love Brie Larson with all of my heart. I'd do anything for her. Like, God damn, that moment's such a cool moment in the movie.
Yeah, it's a good answer. I don't know that any of these beat Scotty doesn't know, though.
Yeah. Because it's such a great plot point. It's got such a great cameo.
Yes,
it's got
a good
Kristen
payoff.
Kirk from Smallville.
Because I know everyone probably had the same moment where you were like, God, that guy looks a lot like Matt Damon. And they're like, oh no, that's Matt Damon.
I don't want to like take this conversation too far out of from where we're at because I'm liking this, but I just want to nominate real quick Matt Damon to be the ultimate cameo man.
Oh yeah. Interstellar. We were talking about that right before.
Guys, John Leguizamo was the ultimate. Like, can't
what? Oh, yeah.
I love no, every time. About,
well, look, here's the thing, though, with Matt Damon. We got him literally doing Scotty Doesn't Know, which is insanely fucking cool. We got him in Deadpool 2 for the best cameo imaginable, was the invisible guy that for 1 second you see it's Matt Damon.
That was Brad Pitt, you idiot.
Oh, fuck.
No, we did get him in Interstellar when we didn't know he was going to be there. Yeah. And then when he fell out, you're like, is that fucking Matt Damon? He's everywhere. Oh,
did you just role model him, Tim?
Dude, into the role models thing. Yeah,
you know, wait, yeah, when he goes, you white, you Matt Damon.
Yeah. Well, Matt Damon was in Deadpool 2.
Oh, okay,
wait,
just was he Deadpool 2?
He was redneck number 2.
Oh, that's right. Oh, God, it's the guy that wipes his ass, like talking about toilet paper.
No,
it was him and Alan Tudyk, right? Or was Alan Tudyk?
John Leguizamo was Tibble in Romeo and Juliet. Come on, guys. Oh, Tibble, the guy that starts everything.
He was an
you're right.
Matt Damon playing Loki in, what was it, Ragnarok?
Ragnarok.
God, that was so funny.
No, I stand by it. Matt Damon's number one.
I mean, Tim, the fact that we just revealed a Matt Damon cameo. I'm watching the toilet paper scene now on YouTube, and I don't think I ever knew that was him. I knew it was Alan Tudyk with him,
Because, like, before you dropped those, I had Channing Tatum lined up.
Oh, my God. What was his cameo in
End of the World?
In the End of the World, when he's on the leash and just presents himself.
Oh, God, that's horrible. Oh,
God, it's so horrible. God bless you. That was when Channing Tatum, like, the fact that we somehow managed to make a world where Channing Tatum could get that popular and then share that joy with everyone who watched him. Because there's no one that appreciates his success more and his position more than Channing Tatum.
Yes, that's
and
true.
He said so much. He's like, I don't know why people like me, but I'm just glad to be here. And I hope I bring joy into people's lives. And I'm like, I'm with you, Channing Tatum. I'm with you.
I want Channing Tatum and Keanu to do something together.
Oh, shut the front door.
I don't know why, but I feel like they're on a similar level for me.
And
of
sex
like,
is what you mean, right?
Like a great guy.
Let's get to watch.
I mean, that wasn't where I was going.
But I mean, like, would you turn away? Would you turn away? I feel like they'd give us a whole show.
Wow.
I watched Uncle Frank in the Vision from Solo.
Paul Bettany. Really
that's
good.
That's the one. Really and good. And so movie. He's in it, and he, this isn't a spoiler for Uncle Frank, I swear. You should watch it. It's really good. Amazon. Really? I think it might be Amazon original. You watched it too?
It's Prime.
It's got
Prime.
The girl. Amazon Prime. Yeah, it's got the girl from It in it. And mm-hmm. Yeah. And anyway, so the deal is that he's gay and closeted to his Southern family that's like clearly wouldn't be about it or whatever. And he has this relationship with this his partner. Do you remember his name? I want to say Marcus, but that doesn't sound right.
I can't remember Mark his Hoax, name, maybe? But the actor is amazing.
He's phenomenal. He was phenomenal. And their sex scenes are like when they're getting all kissy-kissy, I was like, all right, I like this. I like this quite a bit. You know what I mean? So I don't know who Kevin was just talking about, but I'll tell you, if The Vision wants to sleep with this guy again on film, I'm all about it. I'm just putting that out there.
Put
that
you don't know who I was talking about? I mean, all right.
No, I forgot the names already because I was talking about The Vision
Keanu
now.
Reeves, yeah.
Thank you very much.
No, I will say,
what movie should I watch?
I will echo that. Everyone should watch that movie. We watched it over the break and we watched that. And I forget the second one we watched. We didn't like as much, but that one blew me away. That's just one of those unbelievable character studies that you're just like, is just so sad and so just incredibly moving, and you know it's going to be that, and you're like, oh, you just kind of hold on for the ride. But Paul Bettany, fucking shout out to him, man.
Paul Bettany, dude, come on. Yeah, I was watching him soon. I know, I can't wait. Right,
tonight, right? Is it tonight?
For
us.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow it'll be live for everybody on Disney Plus, whatever. But him too. But yeah, no, Paul Bettany, as I was watching this Uncle Frank movie, because here's the thing, I don't know about you guys, because I compare me and Andy for a second. Sure, we can definitely talk about how I'm taller. I'm faster in America.
Not that much.
There's a whole bunch of different stuff that's going on there, right? But also, like, Andy
is very confused by that comment.
It's faster in America.
In America. It's a whole thing.
The farther Greg gets away from the equator line, the slower he gets, apparently.
Exactly. Austin,
that makes sense. That makes sense.
Austin, at RTX London, me and Greg had a foot race in front of the thousands of people that were there at the event.
Some other guy ran in the middle of it. Because there would have been a long conversation if I was faster than him. We didn't know. We didn't have the answer.
We finally raced at RTX London, and I cleaned his hat. I destroyed his ass. Again, I'm running in my shoes that aren't even athletic shoes. You're wearing tight jeans. I'm wearing tight jeans. Who cares? We all have these impediments, Greg. But the thing is, I destroyed your ass. And then you said, well, it's a different country. It doesn't matter.
When it comes to the London Convention Center, you're faster than me. Period. All right. That's what you want to hear. Period, you want man. That. But we're not here to talk about some regional competition outside of the NCAA structure. We're talking about what would happen in a foot race here in the United States. All right.
Okay,
so I'm just saying until then, it's disputed. Anyways, sure. Andy, when it comes to TV, is a lot like the rest of you, right? Whatever's on, he's going to watch. People just come up and they just pour content in the digital trough and you all go over there like a bunch of fucking pigs. And I have discriminating tastes on what I'll watch. And so when I'm going through the carousel of Amazon, seeing I have a delicious meal here, Jen's made, what do I want to watch with her? And I see this Uncle Frank thing, I'm like, I really like Paul Bettany. Everything I see this man in, I enjoy quite a bit. And then it's got the girl from It, and I like that. Steve Zahn's in this film as well. You start building a cast of characters here where you're like, you know what? I want to say this movie can't be bad. There's no way a cast like this can miss. But we've seen this before. Justice League. You think everything's going to be fine, and it's not. So you have to sit there, and you have to be, you know, temper your expectations. But I'm in there, and I'm watching Uncle Frank, and I'm just like, man, Paul Bettany, I've loved him in Wimbledon. I loved him when he was just the voice in Iron Man, and I love him as the Vision. Now I love him as Uncle Frank. Maybe I just watch all – can we do Paul Bettany in review? What else has this man done that I don't know if it's good or bad?
Deep dive on an actor or actress.
No.
Exactly.
I mean, the world definitely wants to know what Paul Bettany's doing at all moments of the like Paul, when we talk about the most talked about actors, we're talking about Paul Bettany, Greg. So I'm glad you have your finger on the pulse, man.
That's what I'm here for. Greg. You know what I mean? I see him on a lot of ads right now. Yeah. Hello, Kevin from kindoffunny.com.
He has 49 credits on IMDb. So no, we can't do that.
Let's just start at the top. We're going to watch, I'm starting most recently, WandaVision. We're going to see that tonight. Uncle Frank, banger. Everybody should watch it. I love it. Solo, A Star Wars Story, not good. But him in it, I don't really remember, period. So who cares?
He's good. He's good.
Avengers, we loved it.
So after this, we're moving on to Stanley Tucci in review. All the Stanley Tucci movies that we all love and know. Yeah.
And we'll have to rewatch Transformers 4 and 5. Remember where Stanley Tucci played two very different characters, including Merlin.
Mm-hmm.
He played Merlin.
Of course.
Yeah.
Throw me off a skyscraper. I never want to watch those movies ever again. Good Lord. That is the lowest point we've ever had in review. Whenever we about how bad these X-Men movies or these whatever movies is, the thing is with the Transformers movies are 4 and 5. They are so atrociously bad, and they are 5 minutes shy of being 3 hours long. Like, they are the longest movies of all time, dude. That's it's the worst part about them.
It's like Michael Bay hates you. It's like he hates you, and he was hate making those movies to punish the audience for watching them.
Can we tack on like 20 minutes in this scene? Like, yeah, sure, of course we can, Michael Bay. Of course we can. It's just awful, dude. Those movies are absolutely the worst, and I'm glad we did that. I don't know if it was a post-show thing or if it was a in-show thing for Kind of Funny podcast, but we ranked the worst of all of the movies that we've done an in-review, and I'm glad that those landed near the bottom. Go ahead, Greg. Kind of Funny.
I have a question for the panel here, because I'm, you know, building what I like to call the ultimate Paul Bettany watch list. I'm here and I'm seeing an independent film I've heard of, but I don't know much about, called A Knight's Tale. Is that worth my time?
Yes, it is.
He's really good in it.
The Joker's in it.
One of those movies that's like fun stylistically, because it was kind of taking, I think it was kind of taking a little bit of a page out of Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, because it combines sort of that old school knights of the, you know, or just I guess knights in general with modern day contemporary music. And correct me if I'm remembering this wrong, Tim, but I think that's what it was, right? Modern songs and stuff they were dancing to.
It is a medieval movie, and it has like metal music, like hard rock music in it.
It was fun. And it had Shannon Sossaman in it, who I remember thinking, like, I really liked her performance in that. And she did the movie prior to that, which was called Go, I want to say, with James Vanderbeek and Scott Wolf.
Was that the one?
Oh, I just watched Go not too long ago. Yeah, Katie Holmes is in that.
Yeah. And I think Shannon Sossaman is in that. She plays one of the college kids. But yeah, I remember seeing her in that and being like, all right. And then she did Knight's Tale. I was like, I'm in. Heath Ledger, I'm in. Let's go.
Was Go when Britney Spears released Crazy? Was that for Go?
No, Crazy. I don't think he's in that.
No, Crazy was in the movie with Clarissa from Clarissa Explains It All.
Was that called Crazy?
No, it was called Drive Me Crazy.
Okay.
The name of the movie.
Never mind. Disregard.
I kind of forget there was a point in time where Melissa Joan Hart was nearly that actor of being, you know, sort of the Sarah Michelle Gellar type actor, you know, where she was going to be the young, hot female star in movies. And then it just never really took off.
Yeah, she never really quite got to Sarah Michelle Gellar levels, unfortunately. Yeah.
Thinking Jennifer Love Hewitt, you know.
There's a documentary that I just watched last night called The Orange Years. It's about Nickelodeon's inception all the way through the closing of the Nickelodeon studios in Orlando.
That's cool.
And it was really cool. It was pretty long. I want to say it was like an hour, 45 minutes or something. But the reason it was so long is like they really let every moment kind of like exist. And they showed a lot of footage from old shows to like get points across. And they went chronologically in order from 1979, where it was like children's networks did not exist. We were the first ones to do it. And then you see their first couple of years trying to figure it all out. Them deciding on orange as their color and why they did all that. And
green slime.
The green slime and like all of the ethos of it all. And it's actually like really interesting stuff that doesn't seem as simple as like, oh, there's a market that we're not making money off. We can make money off of it now. It kind of felt like at least it didn't start there. Obviously,
it was a little more earnest.
Yeah. And you see all the original people. And I was really shocked to see that like it was, without spoiling too much about this, because I think you guys should go watch it. They have so many cast members from all your favorite shows that show up. But so many of the founding members and people that made all the key decisions were women in leadership roles. And it was just cool seeing them, kind of the perspective that they brought into it all, of wanting to really push diverse casts and stuff. And that's why in the 90s, you really see a lot of female-led shows like Clarissa Explains It All, but then also like the cast of all that and the focus on, you know, TLC and Coolio and having Lori musical Beth performances. Denberg. And it was just like, it's cool stuff, but definitely recommend it. And it is kind of sad where they just talk about closing down the studio that I dreamt of going to when I was young. But real quick, I do want to say, Austin, a lot of not enough focus on Nick Arcade, but there was a good section on it.
Yeah, I've heard they didn't really give a ton of backstory on Nick Arcade, but I did have a friend. I don't want to cut Andy off because Andy.
No, go ahead.
one of my friends had access to like the Nickelodeon like area of Universal, and they said they got to go in there once, which is like very hard to do apparently, and everything, it's like a ghost town, and there's cobwebs and there's stuff on people's desks because like when they closed down they just kind of didn't get used for anything, and then it was just abandoned, and they never like, or at that point in time they hadn't like reappropriated it for anything else. And I always thought, like, man, I would love to just go in there, because she said, like, she saw pieces of the Aggro Crag. She saw, like whatever stuff for, what's the show? You can't do that on TV. Just, like, props everywhere. You can't do that on television. It's like, yeah. It's like, oh, God, the things that I would love to just see. I just want to see a piece of the Aggro Crag. I would die.
I had a friend in college who had gone to, I don't even remember what it was anymore, visit his friend or his brother or some shit like that. And they lived in a house with a guy who had been on Guts and had the piece of the Aggro Crag. And he would like take it around to house parties. And he was a god, as you can imagine. Everyone should be, as a champion of Earth.
If after all this stuff, quarantine is done and Corona's done, and once we can like hug each other again, if I was at a party as a 34-year-old grown man, and I saw another grown man walking around with a piece of the Aggro Crag, I don't care what's happening. I'm stopping what I'm doing and I'm talking to him. So like, sure. I don't think people understand it. And I don't know if there's anything in our current day TV shows that like kids in 20 years will like revere, like a piece of the Aggro Crag, or someone said, hey, I was a contestant on Double Dare. We would all lose our minds. Oh my God. I was on Legend of the Hidden Temple. Yeah. Like, are there any shows like that right now that are going to hit? Because I feel like when we were watching TikTok. Those shows, we knew they would hit.
TikTok is what he says, yeah. I feel like that's the problem, is like right now everybody's too fragmented. Everybody, you can be in your own thing and like, you know, be like my wife and be obsessed with TikTok and know all these jokes and songs from that, but that doesn't carry over even if you're obsessed with the internet or you're obsessed with Reddit or you're on Twitter all the time, like what show you're watching. I turn on TV now, like YouTube TV, and usually nowadays it's just straight to the news to see what the hell is happening. But when I'll stop on other channels and there'll be shows on, I'll be like, these, and we joke around all the time about you when you play a video game or see a video game get announced and you watch the trailer, and it's always like, this game looks like it would be in the background of a Judd Apatow movie, right? Like, it's like, it looks good enough to be running on the back screen and not be a real game. That's what this game looks like. I see so many TVs that I would swear are like made up GTA commercials or whatever for TVs. I'm like, this is like not a real thing.
You guys should definitely watch this documentary, because it goes into a lot of that stuff, and it being the first children's network, it meant that all eyes were on it. And then they kind of talk about having to deal with other channels coming. They don't really go into the Disney stuff, which I wish that they did. Nick, what's up?
Where'd you watch it?
On Amazon. I had to rent it. It's not free anywhere. But it,
yeah, I just put it on my queue. I just want to see if I had to rent it or if I could get it free. I'll rent it. I love putting money toward good documentaries.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Do they talk about Stick Stickly at all?
Great question.
Interestingly, they just do for like a brief second. But they talked more about why Stick Stickly existed, which is the whole idea of the P.O. Box, New York, New York, like them doing like kind of live tours.
Stick Stickly, P.O. Exactly. Box 963, New York City, New York State, 10108. Like, I'll never forget that, dude. I mean, that's just like how on lock they had children's television, and they knew what was catchy and they knew what was going to eventually move on, and they would let go of those things quickly. But man, they had the absolute recipe of what kids were going to want to watch and get, and what was sticky. You know, go ahead, Greg, from kind of funny.
Do they talk about a Wild and Crazy Kids?
Wild and Crazy Kids did not get a shout out.
What? That is a show I used to watch in daydream about.
Wild and Crazy.
Because they focused more on the early levels, where it's like, it was interesting where they're like, okay, phase one was you can't do this on television. They gave the backstory on all of that, and then they're like, and then we moved into live action with Hey Dude, and that led to Salute Your Shorts, and that led to Clarissa Explains It All. That was phase one. And then they're like, then we knew we wanted to get an animation, and none of the Saturday morning cartoon people would fuck with us, because they're like, no, we need to be on broadcast TV. Like, there's no way cable is going to pay the bills for advertising and all this stuff. So they're like, fuck it, we'll do it ourselves. And they came up with Rugrats, Doug, and what was the third one?
Rocko's Modern Life.
Ren and Stimpy. Okay. And it's like, they launched all those, and they're like, that was phase one of animation. And they just kept adding different phases of, okay, this is like more of a like sports-focused thing. This is animation. This is live action. This is, you know, they kept growing. And then eventually when they made Nickelodeon Studios, it's because they were like, we now want to be this destination. So we're going to do a mall tour, get kids addicted to watching stuff, come to a place. So the Nickelodeon's not just TV, it's a lifestyle. Awesome. Yeah, what's up?
Did they talk at all about Face?
A lot about Face. They talked a lot about Face and how that was the new era of Nick Jr.
Yeah, because like children. So like I obviously like so I work at a daycare like through like once I graduated high school and stuff. And so the kids would always be watching whatever. And my nephew or my friend's kids and stuff. Yes, Greg.
Did you practice move on the kids because they were easy to move around and throw?
No, they were too quick and they were too busy fighting each other. I was doing a lot of pull-aparts. but Face always struck me as such an interesting like character and conduit for like information for kids, because just talking about like what's coming on next and like being your best friend, and like Face is literally just the whole TV screen. And so there's that idea of like, oh, I don't want my kids to be babysat by TV, but at the same time these people are smart enough to know like it's gonna happen sometimes, and here's like a solid positive way to interact with this information you're getting.
So, I don't know who Face is.
So, Greg, let me give you a little context. You know who Stickley is, right?
Of course I do. Yeah, I watch Stickley.
So in between commercials, like in between shows and stuff, like he'd every once in a while pop up and kind of tell you, hey, this is coming up next, or this is whatever, right? Face was the same thing, but Face was like the face Nick of Jr. Nick Jr., which was like from 9 a.m. to like noon.
Okay.
Every morning for the preschool kids.
Blues Clues.
They would make a bunch of different like little kids shows, Eureka's Castle and things like that. But then eventually their big hit was Blue's Clues, which they were like, we want to make a game show because everyone loves game shows. They're cheap to make. And people at home like to play along when they're watching Family Feud or Wheel of Fortune, whatever. They're like, we want to do that for preschoolers. So that's why Blue's Clues is like, where's the notepad? And it's like on the screen, the little kids are like, it's there. It's like, they built that all for like the kids to be able to interact with the TV. And when they wanted to come up with the mascot, they had a bunch of different designs. And they're like, what's creepy about it is we can't, like, kids are scared of disembodied body parts. Like, they don't want to just see a face that you don't see its body because it's scary to them. So that's why they had the idea. They're like, we're going to make the TV the head of this thing. So the entire screen is this thing's face. So kids, like, aren't scared by it. And it totally freaking worked. I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it's basically just like two black eyes with a big mouth, and it just kind of talks to you, whatever. But what's really interesting, now that I'm thinking of just comparing it to other stuff in pop culture, Face is pretty much the black screen with the white font for Adult Swim.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so interesting to think about how similar they are, except obviously that doesn't make any sound. You just read the screen, but it has its own personality. It's snarky. It advertises shows. It talks about what's up next. They're the same thing, except obviously one is meant for kids. I have a genius TV idea, by the way.
You're talking to a TV executive from G4, so be careful.
Yeah,
I have this idea.
I will very much steal. I mean, I'm in the position to steal now, so yes, please continue.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and steal this. Because I think about how in the cartoon Big Mouth, how they talk to the ghost of Duke Ellington, they talk to the ghost of Prince and stuff. I would love a show where it follows a very much a Dave-like show, but it's Austin Creed as the star, who's also Austin Creed, the WWE superstar as well. But you talk to the ghost of Mike O'Malley, except he's not dead. It's just the ghost of Mike O'Malley, who's like the host of Guts, and he sort of guides you through, and every once in a while you're like, damn, I don't know what to do right now. And then Mike O'Malley pops up like, hey, what's up, boss? And he's just sort of the side character in this. And yeah, I think we greet like this for at least 8 episodes. What are we thinking?
I think if you switch it from Mike O'Malley to Phil Moore, we can definitely get at least 12 or 15. Because Phil Moore is the host of Nick Arcade.
About Summer Sanders.
Summer Sanders, also fantastic. Mark Summers.
Mo.
Also fantastic. Double
the
Dare.
The whole Nick hosting crew.
Oh my God.
They are your force ghosts.
Double Dare. Yeah. But the show has to be somebody just got hired to be like the big executive, whatever, of Nickelodeon, and they're ruining it. And so then they talk to all the ghosts of shows past to show them the way of what they need to be doing to bring Nick back to its former glory.
Exactly.
So this documentary has all those people we named for the most part. No Summer Sanders, but pretty much everyone else. And they get real, real. Like, Mark Summers holding nothing back. He's just like, he's like, yeah, man, it got really extreme for me when we almost killed a kid during Double Dare. Cool. And, you know, didn't really know how to deal with it. I'm just this young actor trying to do my best. It's just like, it's pretty fascinating stuff.
He's drinking a lot of slime.
I got to be on Double Dare, what, like, yeah, 2 years ago, last year and a half ago or so. And it's like the most surreal experience, like watching on a stage, like people like digging in the nose and stuff. And I'm gonna brag on myself because I don't do that a lot. They asked a question having to do with like Greek mythology, and I answered it instantly. And in between the questions, Mark Summers came up to me. He goes, "How the hell did you know that answer?" I said, I love Greek mythology. He goes, "I knew wrestlers weren't stupid." And he walked away. Damn, bro. He like loves wrestling. So I was like, "Oh, hell yeah."
That's rad. Kev, I sent Assets a video, if you could please bring it up, because I want Greg to have some context for the Nick Jr. face.
Yes,
I feel like it's right up his alley.
While you pull this up, let's have a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Kinda Funny Podcast is brought to you by youtube.com/kindafunnyplays. That's right. We have yet another YouTube channel. If you didn't know, in 2021, we are streaming each and every day video games and shenanigans after Kinda Funny Games Daily. But we heard you loud and clear. Not everybody can watch on Twitch live. And of course, you can't leave a clip up on Twitch anymore because they might come at you with the copyrights and things and yell at you. So we're putting all up on youtube.com/kindafunnyplays. Please go over there, like, subscribe, share, watch the videos if you need them, and you want them, and that's where you get them, and you do the thing. If you can do it live, better. We already got on YouTube too a copyright claim. I don't know, they're playing Nicki Minaj or Shania Twain, I'm not sure. They played some song and it got the whole thing claimed. So you got Fleetwood Mac, that was it. Similar to Nicki Minaj meets Shania Twain, if I say so myself. But basically what I'm saying is, go subscribe youtube.com/kindafunnyplays. Also, while this was going on, I looked up Mo from Guts. She's a voice actress. She was in Destiny 2 Beyond Light.
Yeah,
she's doing
she doesn't like Michael Malley.
Oh,
go back and watch Guts. They're never on. I don't know, but they're never on screen together. Not once. Yeah. Question.
This is face. Oh yeah, that makes sense. He's the face. Okay.
How much longer do we go?
As long as you got a heart out.
Because my thing said 7, so I told wifey 7, and it's bath time.
Okay, sure. Go bounce. Go get some tubby time here. Yeah, learn about face and go. This is a fun podcast. We're leaving all this in. It doesn't matter. Hang out.
Great show. Awesome.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We love you.
I'll say bye when we come back from sponsors.
No, we're back. This is all in here. Don't worry about it.
Oh, because it's a live cut. It's a live cut.
We're not going to hide what we're doing. We don't care. You got to make tubby time. I understand.
I thought on the live cut, you got to add too, but you said that. It's there's no ads. Anyway, well, hey, everybody. Live. I gotta go because the young ones need to be bathed, and so I have to go be a father and a professional wrestler and a gamer and a soon to be kind of funny employee as well. So, thank you very much.
We just gotta make sure that we get G4 out of there. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know.
Now you're a man on the inside. You take them down from the inside and
take
them
down. Yeah. Take them down. No.
If G4 becomes a success again, I can't, like, we can't compete with that on, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's good thing you know me then.
All right, cool. That's fair.
He's gonna get us all the free G4 snacks. That's the one thing. Kind of funny.
Maybe get him to, you know, buy you guys out so we can be a subsidiary or something. So
okay,
just
that's
just a little. Yeah,
I'm easy. I'm easy.
Whatever. Thank you so much, Austin. We love you.
Yeah, man. Love you too. Bye.
All right. So here's the thing. I want to see face like we're talking about, but Kevin, do you have the technology to put face in for Austin and just loop him so that he's just there in the square? Oh, you got this. This is perfect.
Oh, hold on. Man. One of the cameras is off. Sorry, I didn't have
time. Hi there.
It's okay. You're doing great. Here. Is that how face talks?
He would always say, hi there, face here.
He seems scary.
Well, that's the thing. He wasn't. He was the homie. And what was cool is these things would constantly be updated. So there was like hundreds. So whenever there was a new one, it was really exciting. Like the first one they're showing here, he's frozen for some reason. You can see the little ice, but
give
I'm
me
sure
one second.
Hold
on.
No, take your time, Kev. You're doing great.
Andy, you stoked something in me when you were talking about the, or maybe it was Tim. One of you guys mentioned the text over screen for Adult Swim, which was just one of the most genius things people have ever done.
It really is.
Oh, it's so easy. As long as you have, you know, as long as you've got the sort of sense of humor and a cool little like lo-fi tune.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
All right, ready?
Just wrong overlay me.
Yeah. It's Andy. I'm on the fly, dude. I'm on the fly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, just delete it from your computer.
Guys, you're talking over face. I don't know. I need to hear what he's saying.
He's talking about your feelings and shit.
Face just called Ghostbusters shit. I don't know why.
Face, you piece of garbage. I'll fucking kill you.
I don't remember any of this shit.
No, you and you said this was what, 9 a.m. to noon or whatever?
Yeah.
Nick and I were out there smoking cigarettes and pulling puss. All right. We weren't out there watching
fucking Christ.
I'm glad you said it.
We were 13 and we weren't watching Nick Jr. anymore. No. All right. We were out there living our lives.
We were looking for butts in all sense of the word.
Oh my God.
Better, Andy? It was better for you?
Butts back then.
Yeah. Now, granted, this was the show. All the Nick Jr. lineup was obviously 9 to noon. For me, I feel like it was. Well, damn, it must have been hella early for you. It was probably like 6 a.m. for you guys, now that I think of it.
Well, no, because we had stuff in syndication as well. So I remember watching a lot of Double Dare. I swear to God, though, I don't think I watched any of like Legends of the Hidden Temple or any of the other shows.
Yeah, that was one of mine.
The few shows that are completely out of my realm of I was just too young and don't remember is You Can't Do This on TV, as well as
You Can't Do That on Television. Yeah, that was a great one.
And then also Nick Arcade is like barely there in my mind, but really it was Legends of the Hidden Temple. It was What Would You Do? It was Guts. All those are what I remember.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. Like I had no idea. I mean, obviously now I do, but growing up, I had no idea Nickelodeon was as big as all that. I didn't know they made more shows than Double Dare. I just thought it was Double Dare. That's all that I just remember thinking like, I remember watching that show and there was two types of kids. There were kids that were like, I got to be on Double Dare. And then there was me. I'm like, that looks like a lot of effort and you get real dirty and it just doesn't look pleasurable at all. But I will delight in other people's displeasure for sure.
I wanted to be on Double Dare.
Me too. Legend of the Hidden Temple more than anything. But
sure, of course.
That's the one with the obstacle course that like looks like Indiana Jones, right? Maybe I did watch a lot of that. I probably watched some of that because they had to be on back to back, right? There was a moment where there had to be like Double Dare followed by Legends of the Hidden Temple, right?
Legend of the Hidden Temple was really cool, Nick, because it had all these teams, these factions, right? And you would have the orange iguanas and the silver snakes the blue barracudas and
the
green monkey. Yeah, or is that a movie?
I remember the purple monkeys.
Purple monkey dishwasher.
It was just cool because you'd have like, it was always me and my brother, and we would always be like, oh, what team would we be on? And you always had those cool, you know, that was back then, Slytherin and Hufflepuff and that's Gryffindor. So cool. That was what we had back then.
Red Jaguars, blue barracudas, green monkeys, orange iguanas, purple parrots, silver snakes.
There we go.
All of those fought every episode, or was that just?
No. I want to say it was three. I think it was two. Like was it just two every time?
I'm seeing four teams on some.
I think it narrowed down.
Oh, it riddled down. Yeah.
We don't talk about like, you know, people ripping off people. Talk about Indiana Jones ripping off Legend of Hidden Temple. You know what I mean?
Straight up.
I don't know if that's the timing on that one matches up, Andy, with that theory. I think maybe Raiders came out first.
No shame.
Yeah, I tossed into the general chat on our Discord server the link to Melissa Joan Hart's Twitter. I want everybody to click on that and tell me if she follows you.
She does. She does.
Andy?
Looking. She does not.
Okay. She does not follow me either. And there was a day at IGN when she followed everyone except me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I was very upset about it. She's in the documentary.
Man, I don't know. Awesome. I don't know.
She also, man, has a lucrative ad deal here on Twitter with Lunchables. I feel like we should get Cool Greg this.
Crushing it. Yeah, well, I forget. I remember when that day happened, and I just remember thinking, I'm going to just lord this over Tim for the rest of his life.
Sure. And here we are.
Here we are.
She follows a lot of people, 162,000.
Yeah, she's one of, you can tell she's definitely like a little bit, you know, not people as conservative always, as it should be with the follows here on
Twitter.
People
always get freaked out whenever they see that I'm followed by Barack Obama.
You are not followed by Barack Obama.
I am. But granted, he follows 600,000 people.
Yeah.
DM him, man. Say get on the podcast. Take your shot. Help me out.
Podcast
Obama
guest.
Follows Finnegan and Goldfarb.
Oh,
no.
Goldfarb, I understand.
He wants to know everything about the company.
We got to get Goldfarb on the show.
Oh, there's two different things. We got to get Goldfarb on the show? No way. They'll never allow it. Sony will never allow it.
I'll tell you what, though. Already, like, I don't know what the audience thought about this episode. I love this. This is something I never mentioned this. I meant to talk about this on Kind of Funny Day. When Tim brought up this idea, I was just like, it just Tim, stop talking. I'm in, right? Stop. Shut your fucking mouth. Shut your beautiful mouth and look into my eyes. And I'm super in because some of my favorite pieces of Kind of Funny content have always been like the Corey Barlog episode, the Brian Intihar episode, being on the podcast with Meg Turney and Jessica Negri and Troy Baker. Like when we get to have those interactions and kind of all be one big group of just goofiness, it's just so fun. And I just love the show already. I love it.
No, I love having people and I love having good times. You know what I mean? Good times, great oldies. That's what it's all about.
Because I've always been, you know, very much me and Tim have talked about it, you know, several times where like, yeah, I would have loved to have had more We Have Cool Friends episodes, but I'm not Greg Miller. And that's
you
why the
Mina, because you won't reach out to Barack Obama.
That's why the Mina Kimes episode had to be edited, and I had to edit out parts of me fumbling and awkward pauses because I'm not an interviewer.
You puked on yourself at one point.
I did vomit. Yeah, yeah. I did vomit. Did you notice?
Don't look at me.
Really embarrassing. Don't look at me. Turn off your camera. Like I can still see you though.
I can still see you though.
Good show. It's a good show.
Nick, quick thing we haven't addressed on this Kind of Funny podcast. Sure. How does it feel to see your face on a football jersey?
It's unbelievable. And it's one of those things that I keep. Okay, Greg, you know that little voice in your head that says, don't jump off that cliff in Hawaii because it might lead to your demise? You know,
yeah,
what I mean,
the Tim? Thing Tim should listen to when he jumped in the water and they almost died. Yeah.
Man, I see this and I just think this is a train heading toward a wall and I can't wait to see where it goes.
You can't wait to see the first horrible crime committed in your jersey and the next assault on the Capitol and someone's wearing the Wild Aces jersey. Oh, they do.
I don't think they're gonna wear the Wild Aces jersey, hopefully. I mean, that would be terrible, but
none of our fans would fucking do that.
Yeah, well, also, you know what we represent, the fact that we're a you know, Bay Area team, I guess we're not really a Bay Area team, right? Because everything's kind of out of Nevada, but yeah, I don't think the people that were assaulting were hella into pink and blue and purple as their colors.
I also love that the coach who got hired is calling himself Coach Ace and is dressed as Johnny Ace as he's got the blue headband, no. He's got the pink Kanye shutter shades. Yeah.
I've missed
that's this. Not a real thing.
Yeah.
Man, look it up. I forget what's his name. I got it. I started following him. Hold on.
His name is AJ Smith. He used to be a former head coordinator. He used to work for the XFL.
Hell yeah.
When the XFL came back, yeah.
Coach Ace. Oh my god, yeah, here he is.
Wait, hold on. Look.
You sending it over to KevDoc?
Send that to Kevin. I want to see this. I'm so out of the loop with all of this stuff. I didn't know that the coach had been assigned and all that stuff.
Wow.
Shut the front door. This is the best thing ever.
Twitch title, Coach_Ace.
Here's the thing.
And
we take
a Coach Ace show.
We take advantage of this, dude, because there's, you know, there's so much talk about the NFL, the no fun league, right?
Yeah.
We always hear about that. We're having fun in this football.
We're having a great time.
We're gonna have a lot of fun.
Here's the thing, Greg. We got to get you on Levitard show, right?
Oh, like, sure.
We got to get some interviews going. Greg is because when XFL was out, when the AFL, right?
Arena Football League?
No, what was the first league that came out before XFL that went under fast? It was Chat will probably know, but there was a league that came out. No, I mean, it was like, it was news, right? Like,
I vaguely remember this. Yeah, I don't.
This was like a year and a half ago, maybe. And then that league went under really, really fast. And then everybody's like, maybe XFL capitalized on this and right the wrongs and stuff. And it did not. Because the XFL was supposed to be this extreme football league, and they came out and were like, look, player safety and this and that. And obviously, player safety is important, but they came out, they came out even tougher than the NFL on rules. Like, it was like, oh shit, you're doing the opposite of what you did back in the 90s. What made you so, you know, exciting or whatever?
Yeah.
God, I it's got to be AFL, I believe. AFL.
It's AAF is what's going up in the chat right now.
Yes, yeah, AAF.
Yeah. First off, I mean, I just to dial it back to this jersey, which I think we talked about last week. So you wore it on something this past week.
I wore it on a private call with you, me and Tim. This is today's debut.
That makes sense. It is spectacular. It is spectacular. I love it.
This is the one that won. I'm glad it won.
Oh, it's so good. I want one immediately. I will totally wear this. And the thing is this, the thing that I love about the vibe that we're cultivating with this is that you guys know me, right? I don't care for football that much. I don't really watch football ever. It's not my sport of choice. But I am so in on whatever I can do to help make this a success because it's just fun. You know, like look at the jersey. It's fun. And if these guys actually, you know, we're actually going to put on some good games, that's all the better for me. But I just have this, I mean, you know, I had this vision of all of us sitting in the box watching the game happen, getting hammered, and the camera cuts to me and they're like, there's the man it's all based off of. And I just look like a spaced out old person.
He's
I don't know what
super the fuck hammered. He's walking around like
I don't know what's going on. And someone pulls me aside for interview and the producer goes, No, you don't want to ask him
any questions. We've learned it. We don't need another Joe Namath interview on our hands. There's the lines now of who you don't interview when you don't interview.
The jersey's hot though. That's all.
The jersey's great.
You care less about the football or love the football. That doesn't matter. The jersey's nice. The jersey's hot. I want one. It reminds me of a Titans jersey I had in the early 2000s.
100%.
And I'm a big fan of those colors.
Where are we at with the FCF? What's going on?
So there's a whole bunch of stuff. Where we're at with it. Well, I mean, so games start in February. So we're right around the corner from it. 4 weeks of regular season, then we're doing playoffs and stuff. Right now, you can go to kindoffunny.com/FCF. If you don't know, it's Fan Control Football. We own a football team. We announced this years ago, then a pandemic happened, then a bunch of other stuff, and have been happening at the same time, too. It's finally happening. Right now, players have arrived in the bubble. They're in Georgia right now. They're in Atlanta, sequestered in hotels, waiting for the COVID time to pass so that they can go out and then ride out, obviously start practicing, ride out throughout February. So it's going to happen fast and furious we get going. Dude.
Like, I'm just looking at this right now. I mean, I didn't realize all this stuff was happening, obviously, and Greg, shout out to you for taking all this on. But let's go through the names of the other teams because they're awesome, too. Are you seeing these?
No, I've seen it all, Nick. I'm the one out there screaming at everybody. Yeah, I've seen
Nick, Greg. Nick, we have like rivals.
Who's our biggest rival? Who can I start?
The Glacier Boys. Right now? We hate the Glacier Boys. Yeah, the Glacier Boys. If you're not already following FCF Wild Aces on Twitter, you should be. They dunk on the Glacier Boys all the time. Because I don't know if you know this, ladies and gentlemen, since of course we're kind of funny. Like, so again, the quickest thing I can give you in terms of this, right? We own a football team alongside Richard Sherman, Quavo, Marshawn Lynch, Mike Tyson, right? There's all these people involved that own these that are huge deals, right? None of them exist solely on the internet and make their living having the most passionate fans in the world. So like we are dominating everyone in terms of social interaction and on all of our accounts and all our stuff. So like it's just a running joke. Like if you just go to twitter.com/FCF Wild Aces, the pinned thing is how many games will the FCF Glacier Boys win this season? And then the responses are zero, none, zero, or a goose egg. And everybody just dunks on them nonstop. And every time the Glacier Boys try to step up, the people who run the Twitter account for the Wild Aces are just like, you have no followers, shut up.
Right? So we're the worst people in the world. Like, honestly, like I hope that Quavo never sees this clip right here of us, these guys right here, dunking on him or people representing us, because like this is totally the example of the nerds from fucking high school coming back 20 years later. They're like, no, now you're big dicks. Look at this guy right now wearing this fucking football jersey. Like, all he's doing, I'm the king of being an asshole on the internet.
Goddamn right, I am the king of being an asshole on the internet. These people don't know anything. There's a great chance Marshawn Lynch will punch me by the end of the season one. First time we meet in person, actually, I think he's local Bay Area too. The first time we meet in person, I'm gonna have problems with these people.
Yeah, Greg is we are essentially, and I say we, but I mainly mean Greg, is a co-owner of the Wild Aces with Austin. With Austin Eckler, and Austin Eckler is an actual NFL player for the San Diego Chargers, well, the LA Chargers now, and an actual good NFL player. Like this is serious shit.
And his picture's this big. Greg's picture's this big.
Greg, give
go to kindoffunny.com/FCF, Kevin. It should take you just to the FCF.io homepage, and then you can scroll down and see Quavo, Bobber, and Greg Miller, and then little Austin Eckler.
Why?
This is the best part. Again, I forget. This is how weird Kind of Funny is, I guess, that we have so many awesome things happening, let alone the awesome content and shows we're doing in 2021 we were planning and stuff. Me, Nick, Tim, and Andy have not talked about the FCF since we signed the contract and you guys were like, all right, it's your thing. You're excited about it. Go do it. Like, there's a ton of crazy fucking shit happening where ESPN is reporting on it and Johnny Manziel is on the fucking Zappers and like they hit franchise tag. Like, it's a thing that like is happening so quickly and so fast and is an actual thing. Like, that's the hardest thing I think for us to wrap our head around is I don't believe it, Craig.
I don't believe you. I feel like it
was 2 years ago that we sat down or I met Patrick, the guy who was on the Patrick Dees, who was the guy from the FCF running it, who came on the show when we announced it and did all stuff. But like to actually be here now where I'm wearing FCF merchandise, this shit is starting to ship out. It's
dope.
Yeah, it's dope. And like, just in general, the shirts are cool. We're supposed to get those sometime this week, I think. But like,
not only that, like designed by one of us, right? Like designed by one of our people. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Campfire Designs, of course, did the Wild Bases logo, of course, that we're using. And again, if you haven't been paying attention, the idea with the FCF is that everybody, you, the fans, when you go to FCF.io or kindoffunny.com/FCF, you go in and you sign up and back a team. And right now what that would have meant if you would have done earlier is you would have voted on the jersey, you would have voted on the logo, you would have voted on the colors and shit like that. Now you're voting on league rules. Right now the thing going on that I still have to vote on is how the playoffs are going to work. Have you seen this, Andy?
No, I haven't. I know that this just happened like yesterday, I believe, right?
Yeah,
because so I voted on the other stuff. I voted on the, you know, I voted for 1 foot in for a catch instead of two, you know.
So the way like we're that. Doing it right is this very backyard football because of COVID, because of everything and how the idea of it's changed, right? So there's the four teams, obviously, for season one. The four teams will make the playoffs, obviously, to do it, right? But how playoff seeding should work is up for vote right now. So you can go there, right? Right now it's classic style. One seed plays four, two seed plays three, right? Winners play in the championship. Then gauntlet, four seed plays three seed, then winner plays two seed, and the winner plays the one seed in the championship. And then pick your own adventure. One seed's fans choose their opponent, and the two remaining teams play each other, and the winners play in the championship.
I'm going with that one. I'm voting
pick your adventure right now, right? Exactly. That's winning right now with 50% of the vote. So right now, again, fan controlled, that's how they're picking this. We did a vote already for if it should be 1 foot inbounds, 2 foot inbounds. But more importantly, when we get going, right, when we actually get to drafting the team, when we actually get to the actual games, you're voting on that as well. So you're going to vote on who we draft. When the game's being played, you will use a Twitch extension or the .com because you watch it on Twitch, to then vote on what play of three should be called. So we're actually doing this thing. And that's why our head coach over here, AJ, right, he isn't listing himself as head coach. He's listing himself as head coordinator because he's training the team and doing the stuff and running the plays. But obviously, it's up to us to do all the different calls and stuff. And again, what I love about it is I've said before, because I know so many kind of funny best friends, and I totally understand, don't care about football. It's not your thing. That's no big deal. I think this is awesome because it's another reason for us to hang out to each other. It's another reason for us, like my old Antler days, to give shit to people on Twitter in a fun way. Everybody's in on it. I don't know if Quavo's in on it, but the people were giving shit to are on it. And then it's another reason for us to hang out on the weekends, right? Like the games are designed to have a 60-minute running clock. Like games are 1 hour long. Like it's meant to be something that you can have fun with and bounce and not have to do with it. It's like an hour we're going to co-stream every game, obviously, and fuck around and call plays and yell at stuff. I've had some interview requests already for Johnny Ace. I need to get him booked. I need to get the Ace Man.
I can hit him up with you on my phone and see what's up.
I will. Yeah. If you get him back from Malta.
How do we, how does people go about like voting for all these things? Do you sign up on this, like join now and you get updates for it?
If you go right now to kindoffunny.com/FCF or FCF.io, when you get there, you have to like pledge allegiance to a team. So if you click on Wild Aces, you'll go there. You have to make an account like in that, because I think there's going to be message boards and stuff eventually like that. But it's a whole thing of the more choices you make. And I don't know if it's happening anymore with season one. Again, COVID changed a lot of plans. As you know, Nick, you mentioned it's all happening in Nevada, right? That was many a plan ago when we were supposed to be going to Las Vegas every weekend to do the games in live with a live audience. Since then, now it's all happening in the bubble in Georgia. And so it's not like that at all. But I know your account's going to carry weight. You're going to gain XP. Not that you would. So that the more choices you make and the more you play and participate, the more your vote would count for. I don't think that's happening in season one, but man, I'm not 100% sure.
I'm all in on Zappers. This team looks awesome.
Nick, you're the face of this team, literally.
Could you imagine? They're just like, why is the Ace over in the Zappers box? They got free Cheetos over here.
Standing on the sideline, like on the sideline with the headset, like chewing gum. Like,
oh God, Andy, I want, you know what I want? I want those, the shorts, the coach shorts that are always just way too tight and way too high.
Yeah. One inch too high. Yeah.
Just 1 inch too high. And just like, dude, you did not even fit into those in high school and you're still wearing them. That's what I want This is great, man. This is so fun. And I can't believe all this stuff. Like, this is just definitely, Tim, if I can for a second, if we can just bring this down to reality. Please, one of those ideas that you and I looked at each other, we're like, no, there's no way this is happening, right? I'm still there.
It's happening, and I still don't believe it. And that happens a lot with Kind of Funny, but this is one of those things where I'm like, this is the closest we'll ever be to talking to Quavo.
Tim, the sentence
was happy that might happen.
The sentence was just uttered. This is by Greg. This is a great way for us to have fun on the weekend. Well, I don't know if Quavo will be in on the fun.
Andy, go through me with these. What do I pick? So classic style, the gauntlet, or pick your own adventure? You guys said
pick your own adventure. Yeah. Okay. The other rules that happened last week, Nick, were or a couple weeks ago, were what do you want to be an official catch? So the NFL, if a wide receiver needs to make a catch and stay in bounds, if you get 2 feet down on the field before you go out of bounds, it's a catch. In college, it's the 1 foot rule. You just need one foot down. I went with the 1 foot rule, of course. Like, that's just more
fun. That has to have one. They haven't announced winners, but that has to have one.
Yeah, it allows for you know, more crazy plays because you don't have to be, you could be a little bit more athletic with it. You got to go 1 foot there.
Now, I don't want it to be shown, but I just, obviously. I just texted you all the actual look of what the set's going to look like, what the field's going to look like, but don't show it to camera because this isn't announced yet. Again, we've seen it go through many iterations since we got pitched this originally. Again, like I was talking about it when we initially talked to you, it was going to be a thing in Vegas. It was going to be going on for a while. The new way they're doing the studio, I think is pretty fucking cool. Or that, not studio, the field. I keep saying.
Damn it, I screwed up. I screwed up my voting, and now I can't vote anymore. It's okay.
Yeah, I also fucked up. I closed it. I was like, I'll come back to it.
Too.
And won't let me come back.
We're locked.
Yeah.
Oh, this is horseshit.
We didn't mean this to become a commercial for the FCF.
This is the thing that, like, I'm glad we're doing this because I've seen Greg dip in to some of these things, and every once in a while he hits me up for like a question here and there, or like seeing if we can get the A's for some press stuff. And Greg, I'm sorry, he wasn't made more available.
It's okay. Over
the break. But it's cool to get this update, and it's cool to see it going. And it's just wild to think that this is a reality. This
and it's not bananas. Only it's a reality, it's like imminent. Like, it's going to begin incredibly. I think it's next week that training, they're out of the bubble and they can actually do training camp. So it'll be even more ratcheted up, let alone the fact, like, I want to get Austin, you were talking about Austin Eckler. I want to get Austin on the podcast. I think he'd be a great guest to come in and talk about being a football player. And then he also streams
in his part time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't get your text, by the way. Sorry.
You didn't get my text?
Yeah.
I didn't either. I think it's Andy fucking it up.
Yeah, me neither.
Andy's got to be the Android person.
I'm all sand.
Oh, yeah. Message send failure. You're right. Never.
Sounds like a team. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I'll just screenshot the it's a PDF that I'm trying to do.
Slack it to us, dude. What are you doing?
Well, I'm on a fucking computer, dude. I'm telling you. It's not working on my phone trying to slack it to the thing.
Slack on your phone?
I do, but I was trying to get you a PDF of the thing to the stuff. Right, guys?
Right? I mean,
it's just you know what, crazy. Kevin? I'm going to DM it to everybody, but you know. Now you've made your own bet.
Okay. Yeah, I'll DM it to you. Dude. Don't worry.
Jesus Christ. Thank you, Andy. Yeah. You've always been my closest friend.
I got you, bro.
That's true. Cool. That, and I do this, and then paste. No, that didn't work.
Hold on. It feels like we're just having a meeting now, and I love this. I'm just gonna talk about other business stuff. Did you all get the email about the standing desk promo?
Yes.
About getting a standing desk?
Well, I got an email from a standing desk company a while back saying, hey, do you want a standing desk?
You have a standing Uplift? Desk.
No, but not here at home.
Yeah, but I've offered it to take it to your house multiple times.
Oh, I mean, we'll end up using it again at the new studio. I don't want to.
Yeah, at which point, like, the computer, I hate you so much.
Yeah, it's pretty tight, Craig.
Right? Yeah, don't show it, obviously, Kevin, but like, no, don't show it to anybody. Right, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think the stadium is going to be awesome when they reveal that.
It's going to be cool. Exciting stuff, man. I can't wait to see what this actually turns into.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, because it's like, and one quick thing, too, that, like, again, it's, I know this sounds like a commercial, but obviously, we actually don't ever talk about this. And the fact that it's right here, I think, probably deserves to be talked about. The one thing, if you haven't been paying attention, Josh Macuga and Jeff Cannata. Yeah. Host the FCF show every Thursday. They're live right now on Twitch doing a show about the FCF. So heads up on that if you haven't seen Macuga. Like, everyone's involved. Everyone's being a part of it. It's pretty cool in different ways. And yeah, I can't wait for it to actually get going.
Yeah, I brought it up here. That, like, when I went over their Twitter, that really caught me off guard. I was like, what the fuck is Brett McGugan?
Yeah.
Why have we not talked about that?
Because, I mean, you know, we have Jeff a million Cannata. Things going on.
Great smile on Jeff Cannata, you know what I mean? Look at him.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
but he also looks like that one dude from the Backstreet Boys.
He does. Joey Fatone?
Yeah, right?
I hate you all.
Or what? Kevin. Kevin.
Yeah, what's up?
Kevin. From Backstreet Boys. I was talking to you.
What do you mean?
Are you saying he looks like Kevin from
Boys? Kevin from Backstreet
Boys. He looks like one of them. I don't know. Joey Fatone felt right when he said it. That's the old one, right?
From NSYNC.
Oh,
that's why Tim's mad at you. That's why there's clear anger. He knew, Tim. He knew.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's your Kinda Funny podcast for second one for the week. Thank you very much to our friend WWE superstar Xavier Woods, aka the Commish from Up Up Down Down. Austin Creed. Everybody go over there. What a tool bag. You know what I mean? Of course, this is the Kinda Funny podcast each and every week. Four, sometimes five, best friends gather around these microphones, coming to bullshit about what's going on in their life. Sometimes it's a football team. Sometimes just hanging out, having a good time. Remember, the FCF is kicking off soon. I keep saying that. There's no kickoff. There's no kicking. It's one of their things. Anyways, it's happening soon. You can, of course, go over to kindoffunny.com/FCF and get registered. It's free. Even if you don't want to buy the merch, it's free to be there and participate with us and hang out with us on Twitch and have a good time. Remember, this show isn't truly over. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny where we're doing a post show, hanging out, shooting the shit. But until next time, no, it's been a pleasure to serve you.